We're going to carry on with our studies, thank you, of the Beatitudes as well as the other things that the Lord has been teaching. And I think this is important for us to take note of. We're going to pray together and then continue to make sure that we understand these lessons properly. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray for wisdom to understand your word, and then for grace and mercy to apply that into our life. We pray this morning that you will refresh us and you will encourage our hearts. Pray that you will open our eyes further. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now as we take a look at the Beatitudes, we begin to realize that what Jesus was saying was not necessarily anything that is new, because all the Beatitudes, every single one of them, actually has an Old Testament counterpart somewhere. So a lot of these things that Jesus is saying is actually maybe found in the book of Psalms, for example. And you won't be surprised that these things are there. Then we went on further to talk about how the Lord Jesus, when it, you know, talked to them about what it means to be salt and light. Now it's important to not to confuse the two. Salt and light are not the same imagery. They are separate imagery. Don't combine them into one because they're not the same. Okay? So if you put salt on the lampstand, what's it going to be? Salt. I mean, obviously, they're not the same. So if you're going to be a city, you know, it's going to be a city of salt. It doesn't work either. So you've got to keep the imageries separate. But each one has its own set of lessons to impart to us, to challenge us to consider. Now, this is absolutely important that we don't confuse the things together, and they are, separate challenges. Then we have to then ask ourselves, and appropriately, we have to ask, who is this teacher that will teach with such masterful ability? Who is this person? And any person who comes on as a teacher of the Lord's word, as it were, that person his credentials will have to be examined. I mean, it's very obvious, right? Anybody who like to teach at this level, people will need to know who the person really is. And so this is where we come to Matthew chapter 5, where the Lord Jesus explains who he is. And this is something that we need to consider. In verse 17, "Do not think that I come," Lord says, "because people will be wondering." Right? Okay, this person speaking well, this person sounds good, but what is the person really saying? And who is the person who says what he is saying? Right? And back of the mind of any typical Jew, these questions will be asked. Whether verbally or mentally, they will be asking the question or questions. What is your view of the law and the prophets? For anyone who comes on into Israel, if you cannot answer those questions, what do you think of the law and the prophets? Nobody is going to believe you easily. Right? And so this had to be, of course, answered. And so Jesus says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets." See, the law and the prophets actually is a reference to the foundation of the, you know, of Israel's faith in God. It is a faith that is essentially based upon the scriptures. Right? So it is a good question. Jesus, being wise, being skilled the way he is, immediately recognized that the people were wondering what he was saying. Right? The imagery of salt, light, and city are powerful images. The question is, who is this person saying all these things? Right? So far, he has made no reference to the law or the prophets, it seems. Right? So far, he has made little reference to the Word of God as such. Although what he has said is actually from the Word of God. It's just cast differently. It's just taught differently. But and so Jesus has to answer this question. You know, he anticipates the questions. He knows that they need to be assured. Right? So he says, this is an important thing. What about the law and the prophets? He is not doing away with the law and the prophets. This is a mistaken view. And a lot of people think that since we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't need to read the Old Testament. We don't need to know the law and the prophets. And the answer is not true. We do need to know the law and the prophets. And Jesus gives a very, very important word here that he says, and I wanted you to understand this. What about the law and the prophets? Can we put that away? Can they be, as it were, destroyed? And the answer is no, obviously. Right? So this is an important statement. This is an important statement of the Lord Jesus Christ to say, to allay fears. Okay? If you want to minister to the Jews, all their life the law and the prophets have been a part of their faith and understanding and the practice and the reading. Okay? Even though he comes on as fresh, with fresh insights, with solid, deep teaching, the fundamental must be raised. What is your view of the law and the prophets? What is your view of the scriptures? And this is a watershed question too, to anybody who wants to be a teacher. What do you think of the scriptures? And if the person says, law and scriptures, law and prophets, not important, I have dreams, straight away, alarm bell must ring in your head. Obviously. What do you think of the law and the prophets? Oh, I old stuff. I don't read this thing. I'm modern. I read only new stuff. Well, again, alarm bells must ring. Right? So Jesus very cleverly, very masterfully answers questions that were there. Who do you think he is? He did not come to destroy. Now, I remember years ago when I was speaking in Kuching, Sarawak, there was a person who was asked to come and open the camp. This is protocol. They borrowed the premises of the school, and so they felt that they must ask the pastor looking after the school to come and open the camp, to declare the camp open. I don't know why they had to do that, but they had to do that. And so his word was, I hope you did not come only to read the Bible. What is the Bible? He says it's only a book. If I put it into the water, it becomes wet and soggy and useless. That week, I had to undo whatever he said. That was the impact, and it was tough. And it was really, really, really a tough situation because he was completely not interested. He is a so-called minister of the gospel, but his regard for the scriptures was zero. He himself does not read the scriptures, obviously, unfortunately. And so it is important for Jesus to answer this question. What do you think of the law and the prophets? So if a person does away with the scriptures, this person is not a teacher of the law, is not a teacher sent from God, obviously. Right? So the person may be new, may be creative, may be innovative, the person may be skilled, maybe can speak well, and so on and so forth. The essential question is still, what do you think of the law and the prophets? And if this person does not know, has no regard, is going to destroy the law and the prophets, that person is taboo. You want to be very careful. Don't listen to that teacher. And that's obvious. Now, so he's a late fears. I did not come to destroy. Okay, but the next part of it is just as important. I have come to fulfill. Now, that is a very big one. You see, a lot of people, know the scriptures. They may even know the law and the prophets. But the essential question is not, as it were, knowledge, but fulfillment. Now, do the scribes fulfill? They don't. Do the Sadducees fulfill? No, they don't either. Herodians, they don't fulfill either. In fact, hardly anybody can speak of, I have come to fulfill the law and the prophets. Now, that is absolutely important. Okay, as far as Jesus is concerned, when he said he's come to fulfill the scriptures, of course, he has to bear in mind the fact that there were many, many prophecies concerning the Messiah. How he will bring Israel back to God. How he will teach the law of God to the people. How he will restore Israel. How he will comfort the brokenhearted. How he, and so on and so forth. It is one thing to teach. It is another thing to fulfill. And so Jesus is saying to the people, I have come to fulfill the law and the prophets. And that is a big thing to do. Okay? So when a person talks about this idea of teaching the Lord's word without seeking to fulfill it, that teacher is of doubtful value and of significance. Right? So Jesus had to be very, very, very important for us to understand what he came to do. Now, the next verse in verse 18 is important. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot, one tittle will by no means pass from the law. Now, this idea of jot and tittle is something that maybe here in Singapore, we don't really pay a whole lot of attention to. The more you use SMS, the more you use the handphone, the worse your English can be. Your is now you are. You know, and you have, I'm going to see you, see as I want to see you. And so it's also, when I read these things here, I cringe. I really, really cringe. See, I have a little bit of knowledge of Greek, a little bit of knowledge of Hebrew. Okay, and I use a magnifying glass to see the little pointings. Because sometimes, and with every passing year, it gets harder and harder to read these things here. I must tell you. Okay, I like to read comics. And comics have small little prints. And then I read what this is saying about Garfield. And I found to my horror, I don't know what he's saying because I cannot read the fine print. I mean, it's really, really hard. But the yod, or the jots, we call it, And this is important. Look at verse 18, okay? And so the word literally is the word iota. Overtranslated in Greek, they say one iota. What on earth is a iota? A little e, little, that's it, little I. So we call it a jot, or a, they call it a yod. In Hebrew, it would be a yod. A yod is a smallest little, like a small little seven, right there on top, that's it. It represents the letter Y, yod. And then the word here is one little kerea. What is a kerea? It's just a little, one little thing. And it's translated one little tittle. You see, the difference between one little tittle, and it can be quite a bit when you do it in the Hebrew. Minus a tittle, it can be a different form entirely. Right? We talk about the alphabet and how they are all made up of little things together. So you have one little thing short, one little dash across, and you don't know whether it's an M or a D. That's the difference. Okay? So, trust me, I'm old school, so I understand this a little bit better. A little comma, a little full stop, or with this exclamation mark, these are your yod and your tittle, your iota and your kraya. This is what it really means. Small little notations. And they are important. This is the way Jewish scholars study the Old Testament, actually. They will read a phrase, and then they will say, okay, now how do we understand this? Right now, I am in the helping the last few days to explain the concept of being a servant, a doulos, to this American young pastor. What is a doulos? What's the difference between a doulos, translated servant, and a diakonos, translated servant? Or the idea, I want to serve, latreia, serve. I want to be a good servant of God, liturgos. And they're all different. They all translate in English simply servant. And yet each one has his own nuances. Each one has his own set. And so at the end of it all, he wrote to me and he asked, okay, what's the takeaway? In other words, he is really, really dumbfounded. What is this? I thought it's a simple word. No, it's not. You see, and Jesus understands this. Every word, every yod, every tittle, every little thing has its own set of nuances. And if you just take one, chances are you're wrong. This is how much attention Jesus pays to the Word of God. And it is. You see, that's how we ought to understand the Word of God. It is not just general knowledge. It is important that we understand that this knowledge that Jesus talks about is close, careful understanding of the Scriptures. And he says, this is what it is. So if God made a yod there, you know what? He won't change it. Because he's going to keep it. If he made a promise, he is going to keep it. And it will not pass away till everything has come to pass. All fulfilled. That's what it means. All it has come to pass. And it's not going to go away. And this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. You see, from the outside, Jesus is a great speaker. And he has power to heal. Right? And so many people look at Jesus from the outside and they say, wow, that's great. But what is he really like inside? If you go down deep, if you come up close, what will you see? And this is the part of Jesus that very few people actually know. And so this is an open declaration on the Lord's part to tell people that's what he is, that's what he is going to do. And I think this is important for us to understand. Okay, well, let's take a look at what he went on further to teach. In verse 19, we read, okay, whoever shall break one of these commandments is going to be considered least. Whoever teaches wrongly, I mean, this is over here, verse 19, okay? But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is important for us to understand. What does it really, really, really mean? Among the Jewish people, there were scholars. Okay, and some of the scholars had fantastic reputation. You know, there was one particular famous scholar who lived hundreds of years ago. His name was called Rabbi Lehr. And, you know, I was so fascinated with his life that I actually made a trip in Europe to see his grave. Because this was a time when the people were living in ghettos. And they were living there. And this rabbi was supposed to have such an impact on that community. So one day they came to him and they said, the enemies come and attack us anytime in the night. And no one is safe. The women are not safe. The children are not safe. And they get molested and bad things happen to them. What can we do? Now, this Rabbi Lehr went on to create what is known as a golem. And this was supposed to be a protector of that community. Some years ago, X-Files featured this golem. And the truth is out there. The person who actually supposed to have created this actually supposedly had supernatural powers to create a golem. So he went to a sacred graveyard. To them, graveyards are sacred. They won't allow you to take photographs of graveyards, you know, in the Jewish community, because it's called a sacrilege. You cannot bring cameras into that area. And he would take it, and then he would form a figure, read the scriptures into it, and breathe life into it. But of course, this golem also went crazy. Okay, first he protected. Then he was bored to death and he started to go and hit anybody he sees on the streets. The truth is out there. And so they came back to him and they said, you know, this monster you created, it's good for a while, but you know, he's going crazy. What shall we do? And of course, when he gives life, he can take it away. And so he took away his life appropriately and it became a mound of dust again. That's it. So I hope you understand what the Lord is trying to say. Because among the Jewish people, there were people who had legendary proportions in the mind of the people. Okay? And so many of them actually are familiar with the writings of these people. Not the scriptures. Okay? For example, one form of it is called the Mishnah. And so they have many, many stories about the Mishnah. Another one is called the Talmud. And these were also sacred writings to the people. Not the same value as the scriptures, but that's what it is. Okay? Now, there is a group of people among the Jewish people, and they call them people who are the Kabbalah, they call it. And these are what we call mystics. Okay, sometimes I'm also called mystic. So, you know, these are people who devote themselves to a life of prayer and so on and so forth. So they are there. And so they have got these people and they have this saying that in a world there are 10 righteous people. And these 10 righteous people uphold the world, otherwise God would have destroyed the world. And with all their heart, they will protect the life of these people. Who are the people who believe in this Kabbalah thing? You know, you can be anything you like. Don't worry about it on the outside. What you are on the inside is the important, the Kabbalah person. One of them is Madonna. She is one of the more famous Kabbalah believers. I mean, So it's not your traditional Jewish, it's not your even conservative situation, but these are people who practice a certain thing. And Jesus is aware of all these things that exist. But his focus is, are you teaching the scriptures? Not ideas, not forms, not practices. How are you reading and teaching the scriptures? That was his focus, and I think this is important. Our focus has always been what Jesus said. What about the scriptures? Are you teaching it correctly? And if you are not teaching it correctly, you are going to be called least in the kingdom of heaven. So this is a word to all Sunday school teachers. Your role is critically important. You mistake a yod from a tittle. You are the least of the teachers. And if your students come to me and say, but my Sunday school teacher said this, I will be writing to you very shortly. You see, this is the challenge, and it is not an easy challenge at all. You cannot say, well, I don't want to accept this challenge. But they will. It's there. It's part of what it is. And so Jesus becomes an example to us as to how we should regard the Word of God. With such sacredness, this yod, this tittle, it's important. Over in California, there was a lady who, Chinese doctor, her name is called Lisa, so it was a Chinese surname. She's probably from Taiwan, quite a few Taiwanese doctors living in the U.S. And she prescribed painkillers. So I'm anything to do with painkiller, I'm always interested. So she prescribed painkillers. Good thing I don't use any of them. And her patients died. And she's very happy to write prescriptions for some of them until complaints against her, and she was charged for the deaths of 3 of her patients. What on earth was she doing? And so even though there were people who warned her, you know, your drugs can actually cause death, she happily prescribed them freely because she makes a lot of money out of those drugs. Some who were cured from pain and all that, they were very happy to pay for them, but some who died. And so she was sentenced to 30 years in jail. By the time she gets out, she'll be 70 years old. So she's in the prime of her life. She's made millions just prescribing painkiller drugs. Well, I think that she's going to jail is probably the best thing to do. And she said, you know, I am going to live with this for the rest of my life. I'm full of remorse, and I'm so and so and so forth. But you know what? if you think that prescribing wrong drugs is criminal, is wrong, teaching the Word of God wrongly is just as bad. And so we are deeply committed to the same principle. We are committed to teaching the Word of God in its entirety, in its truth, in its accuracy. This is our commitment too, and it cannot be anything less. And I like the standard that Jesus sets for all who would be teachers. Greater is the condemnation thereof if we are not careful. So when we handle the Word of God, you just have to be very, very, very careful about lots of things. Otherwise, the danger is you're going to be considered least. And after a while, it's not going to work. All right, in chapter 5, in verse 20, he says, I say to you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is an important thing for us to understand. You see, the Jewish understanding of righteousness is often ceremonial. It's often ritualistic. It's often external. That's it. You know, so if you are on the external side and if you're keeping all the laws carefully, correctly, you are considered righteous. And Jesus says, this kind of righteousness, he's not dismissing it, but you have to exceed the external part of it. And if the external part of it is all there is to it, it's not going to work. You're not in the kingdom of heaven. You're not part of it. You're out of it. And this is going to send a lot of warning signs to all who would hear him. Because he specifically mentions the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes were the scholars of the day. These are the people who today we would say have, you know, master's degrees, doctoral degrees, and so on and so forth. These were the scribes. They were trained from young to become scholars. And this is how it works. The word rabbi is just a title. So if a person is a great scribe, they will be very happy to call him rabbi. Okay, now that's what it is. Now, a Pharisee is one of those religious groups, and they are very, very, very careful about what they wear, what they eat. They are fastidious in everything they do. Amongst the people who practice Kabbalah, for example, the Sabbath is an absolutely important occasion. They prepare fresh bread for the Sabbath. There has to be fresh fruit on the Sabbath. No other way. You cannot eat anything left over. And the prayers must be made. Till today, it's the same. So if I'm poor and I cannot celebrate the Sabbath properly, I must go to a person and friend and say, you know, I don't have anything fresh. Can you help me? And they will help you. And they are very deeply committed to the keeping of these external rituals and ceremonies. And Jesus warns against this kind of approach because this kind of approach is essentially external. The kind of teaching that he represents, the kind of faith that he represents is never external. So a person can say, and I'm going to church, I listen to what you're saying, I see things on the external, I'm in. No, you're not. Because there has to be a righteousness that comes from within. And it extends to the outside. This was what Jesus was teaching. This was what he was emphasizing. This was what his focus really was. And I think that this is something that we don't want to take for granted in any way. So who is this person? Who is this Jesus we're talking about? Okay? One, with reference to the law. He's got it right. He came to teach. He came to fulfill. He did not come to destroy. Right? Now, with reference to life, if I am a student of the scriptures, if I am truly reading the Bible correctly, it should affect me, my life. Obviously. Right? This is important. And there's something that you want to not take for granted. One day, I was in San Francisco at one of the malls there, and I saw a young lady, and she was asking someone, and he says, how do you keep your hands so beautiful? Your fingers are so nice, and so on and so forth. Wow, your hands are immaculate. And she was on and on about hands. So I look a bit more carefully. Listen, you know, when she was speaking so loudly, she was exclaiming, you know, everybody to turn around. So I turn around too. And lo and behold, it was a man. And he had such beautiful hands. And so he explains to her how he is keeping his hands beautifully. Now, usually at those cosmetic centers, I try to avoid them. But sometimes you cannot, you know. And this man was mending his stall. And the ladies were flocking to him because his hands were so beautiful. You know what? You got to match your job description. If I'm going to be here, I've got to dress the part, I've got to look the part, I've got to know everything here so that, you know, when I speak with some authority. It just happened that it was a man who was doing this. Didn't I go and see the man? No. I just want to allay any fears. Did I go and, you know, I look at my hands and say, mine's not too bad too, you know. You know, and so on and so forth. But this is what Jesus was saying. It's not just about the scriptures. It's about your life. And the biggest concern is, am I in the kingdom of God or am I not? And if I'm in the kingdom of God, what's my level of righteousness like? Is it an external thing or is it genuine from inside and it comes out on the outside? And that is his focus. Now, you're going to see this very, very carefully because this thought here is going to affect the practice of prayer and the practice of fasting as well. It has to do with external, in other words, if I am truly righteous, the Jews would think, then I must have external religiosity. And this expressed in almsgiving, in prayer, fasting. But Jesus has the same idea, except that his teaching about prayer and fasting and giving has a slightly different nuance, but hugely important, which we will take up as we study along the way. And I think this is important for us to understand. So who is this Jesus? And the answer is very obvious. He's not just a teacher of the law and the prophets, but he is one who will fulfill it. He's the one who will help people enter into the kingdom of heaven. And he's the one who is going to help people understand what it really, really means to be righteous in the sight of God. Well, we talked about imputed righteousness given to us, resulting in personal righteousness, and that it is revealed in one's life. Well, that's the challenge. We will take that up later on as we study this text a little bit more. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray for grace and for mercy indeed, that we may be able to understand this challenge, to look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and to follow him as we should. And we pray that you will help us to check our own hearts, whether truly there is that imputed righteousness, whether it is revealed in our life, whether we are indeed part of the kingdom of God. Pray that you'll help us to ponder our challenge to be Sunday school teachers as well. Help us to be very, very sure that we do not teach things externally. But what we teach comes from deep within our own hearts. We ask you to bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.